Emotion is not something you have, it is something you generate. Emotion can be an impulse, but feelings is our interpretations of those impulse over a period of time. And I said, I want to feel vibrancy, joy, love, connection, satisfaction, fulfillment in my life. So I'm going to learn to generate those emotions. How do you learn to generate the emotions? You read psychology. How do you learn to generate the emotions? You try. Like, you're just like, we're going to have date night tonight. I'm going to make it a fun night. I'm going to do things to see, can I make people laugh? Can I make people turn their lights on? You learn to control your own emotions and or deal with them in better ways as you decide to be a more mature person.
I do think about like the question that I ask myself, and it's come up a lot more to me, you know, and I haven't figured out why, but I ask myself, you know, like what really matters? And there's a quote by Bob Goff, and I'm probably not gonna get this right, but he said basically like his biggest fear was like being successful at the wrong things. And the quote is like way more beautiful than that, but I'm paraphrasing. It's like, I used to have a fear of not succeeding, but my fear now is succeeding at the wrong things. And I think about that a lot. Like, what's really gonna matter at the end of my life? And I literally prioritize my life around that. Reality, it's facing reality. Too many people run from it. You know, my quote is, you'll never win your war by running from your battles. And so you gotta step up and you gotta face it. I don't care what it is. It might be something in your past. It might suck to face it. For me, it was facing that my dream was over, my identity. So for somebody watching this, it might be a relationship, it might be a job, but I kept running. And the thing about it, like you can run all you want, but reality is gonna be right there when you stop and it's gonna chase you. Or even if it doesn't chase you, it's gonna be right there. You have to face it. So I really let people know that acknowledgement is power. People think if I acknowledge that I'm hurt or I need help is the most powerful thing that you can say. And I realized that in my life, because immediately you have people that are gonna help you and grow your life. Exposing yourself, like in a positive way, obviously, but expose yourself. We think that we always have to be so sheltered, that we have to be so strong, especially with the social media world. It's like, oh, I have to have everything together. That's like a silent depression that's gonna happen. When you suppress things like that, when you smile for the camera but die behind the scenes, which I did so well for so long in my life, you're never gonna fool the person that you see in the mirror every single day. So I've gotten really comfortable with saying, I suck at this, I need help. And literally in my business life, in my personal life, in the last year, it's been the greatest year of my life, just by asking for help and exposing my weaknesses in certain areas.
We're beating ourselves up. Like everybody sucks at something, right? Like we all have shortcomings and we all have strengths. And for me, it's like, why don't we just audit that? Like, why don't we just look at it that way and be like, all right, well, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. Like, and then I only focus what I'm good at, right? Like, I don't dwell that I can't fix shit around the house. I call somebody to fix it. Like, I'm not like, I'm not a man. I don't give a fuck. I also think it's awesome that I'm so emotionally stable and I'm the emotional backbone of everybody. Is that what a dude's supposed to do? Like these cliches, these stereotypes, they're so silly. You're exactly right, man. I don't judge myself. I'm fully in love with myself. But I'm also fully in love with everybody else too, right? It's not like it goes both ways. Like I tell people to buy into me, that work for me, it's because I buy into them first. Like I don't need anybody to gain trust with me. It's there. Like I believe that the human race is so grossly underrated. We are good. Of course we have some bad. There's 7 billion of us. But like when you look at our net score, it's bonkers. Like, do you know how much damage we can be doing to each other on an hourly basis, and we don't? Like, we're still here. Like, we won. We're the alpha being, and we've figured out how to stay together. This is insane when you think about it. And yet everybody wants to dwell on, like, somebody said something mean.
The first that comes to mind is setting really low expectations. You talk to Rick Rubin. So let me give his example first. When he has a musician who's stuck, great musician, but they've developed performance anxiety about songwriting for whatever reason. He will say, do you think you could get me one sentence or maybe two words that you like by tomorrow? That's it, two words. Can you do that for me? And he gives them a micro assignment. Best writing advice that I probably ever received, and I've received a lot of good writing advice, but I can get myself really wound up because I expect perfection to flow from my fingertips like magic, and that never happens. So then I beat the hell out of myself, and that makes me less likely to put pen to paper in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'll procrastinate, which is why if you write 2 crappy pages per day, you've won the day. That's mm-hmm. a successful writing day. And that does a few things. It helps you to maintain enthusiasm because you're constantly winning. And of course, on many days, you'll write more than 2. You'll get to 2, then you go to 5 or to 10. But if you're on an off day, you write 2 crappy pages, even if you never use it, it's a successful day. And that, I think, for longer term projects and extended creativity is really important. But the story that this writer told me with that tip, he said, okay, this is where this comes from. Did you know that IBM, when it was the 800-pound gorilla, it was an undefeatable sales force. Do you know what one of their rules was? He's like, no. He says, well, what do you think their quotas were? And I was like, well, I'm sure their quotas were really high because they wanted to motivate their guys to get after it. And he goes, no, their quotas were the lowest in the industry.
Wow.
And the rationale was, we don't want our salespeople to be intimidated to pick up the phone. Mm. We want them to feel like they're going to pass their quota quickly, which they did, and then they shot well past it and clobbered the competition. So the counterintuitive pairing of low expectations leading to higher performance is really odd. What they learn is, he said, there's no such thing as writer's block. He said, what that is performance anxiety that you've imposed on yourself because your expectations are too high.
So how do I find my passion? My simple model, which is the Dharma model. It also, Dharma means eternal duty in the Vedic tradition. It's very similar to what Ikigai is being spoken about today, which is the Japanese version of reason for being. Why do we live? Where is meaning coming from? And it talks about an intersect of 4 areas. What am I good at? What do I love? What does the world need? And how do I get paid for it? To me, those 4 help you unlock your passion. When you find the intersect across all of those 4, you're making your passion your purpose. You'll unlock your passion, you'll find your purpose. This is path 1, there's 2 paths. Path 1, I find my skill set and I engage it to help other people and become better at it. So I'm becoming better at what I'm good at and I'm using it to help other people because I'm aware of what I'm quite good at and I know what knowledge I have, what skills I have. I have some self-awareness. The other path that people often miss is actually I just start serving people. I just start helping people and I start to notice what I enjoy about that and what I'm good at helping people with. So that's Gandhi's part. Gandhi said that you find yourself when you lose yourself in the service of others. So for me, those are the 2 paths of how do I find my passion and finding the intersect between those 4 areas.
I think the first thing for us to go to is that recognizing that beliefs are a choice and every choice can be changed. We collectively have believed things both individually and as a society over time that we've changed our beliefs. So I think that that is proof positive that our beliefs are a choice and those choices can indeed be changed. You know, obviously there is the phenomenon known as confirmation bias, which is the brain's it tends to reinforce what we already believe and then ignore information consciously or subconsciously that doesn't match what we already believe, which is often why whenever we're having conversations about really delicate topics, like it could be about gun control or reproductive rights or race, and they just evolve so fast because people hunker down in their belief bunkers and they're unwilling to see another point of view. But I do hold fast to the fact that all beliefs are a choice and choices can be changed. And here's what else is cool. Over the years, I've read more personal development books than you can just shake a tree at. And oftentimes, part of the exercise is you have to go hunt down all of your limiting beliefs, right? So if you wanna become this powerful person and be the best that you can be, you need to find every single limiting belief and then change it and do all these different things. Here's what I realized when writing this book. You actually don't need to do that. I have a time-saving tool because everybody needs to save some time and to make this really effective and efficient. If you adopt the belief that everything is figure outable and you take that on for yourself, you don't need to go hunting down all your limiting beliefs because that one thing is like the master key that handles everything below it. It's almost like flipping a switch in your consciousness where then everything else becomes possible. So let's say if you're like, oh, everything is figure outable, you bump into something in your relationship that feels like it's problematic. You're like, oh, I could figure this out. You don't need to go necessarily looking for all those limiting beliefs. You may eventually uncover them and that's cool. You can kind of clean them out, but you don't have to do all this front end work adopt this one. It's like the master key, and it'll help you achieve anything you want for the rest of your life. This is not like hype. I'm dead serious on this.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.